If you open your Bibles to Psalm 46. And I just want to remind you also that if you have the Bible app, now this isn't just any Bible, like the ESV Bible or anything like that. You have to go in the YouVersion Bible app if you search for that thing. When you open up the main screen, bottom right corner, you'll see three lines. You tap on that, you'll see an events thing, you tap on events, and there you'll see, right now you'll see Blessed Hope Church, Winslow Baptist Church, and Central Church with a little red live symbol there. If you want to this sermon at this location, you got to go to Blessed Hope. If you want a better sermon, again, you go to the Winslow Baptist stuff, okay? So you're aware, also to set the bar lower for you all. We don't want to get too excited here. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment. And we just ask that your spirit would rend our hearts from whatever may be distracting us, whatever heart commitments we might have that are not glorifying to you, not honoring to you, Lord. We just ask that you would captivate our gaze and our hearts so that we can focus on you in this moment, and not only in this moment, but into the days, years, decades, centuries to come, that your church would be focused on you and the mission that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so if you do open up that app, you'll see that it walks through an outline, and I'm trying to wrestle is what's too much, what's too little to give you. And I think this Sunday I probably gave you a little too much, so not much is going to come from for a surprise for you as to what I'm going to say if you're following the app. I got a little too copy and pasty with it, so you're welcome, or I'm sorry. So I don't know about you, but things can feel a little unsettled at times. Things certainly feel unsettled in the world, in our country. Maybe you're in a state of influx and just wondering what is next or what you might be forgetting. I just seem to always be in that perpetual state of feeling like there's something missing, something that I'm forgetting. Maybe there's just too much noise and distraction that you're having trouble seeing anything bright or good. And maybe there's a lot that's going on that is good in your life. Your kids are healthy and active in sports, completely obedient. School activities are not overwhelming in any stretch. But with that, you're not quite sure how faith in Jesus and what we are supposed to be doing with our time, you're not quite sure how to fit that in into this life, and so you're feeling a bit unsettled. And the Bible, you know, is a very real book. It's given by a very real God through very real people. So the Bible shows and includes the realness of life and our God on every single page. And sometimes the realness of it can throw us off. And I think it's oftentimes the realness of it that, you know, makes people, you know, think it's old and really takes them off guard. Like, why is that in the Bible? Why does the Bible, you know, seem to accept slavery? Well, no, the Bible doesn't accept slavery, but it's going to talk about it because it doesn't shy away from the difficult things in life and even the brokenness and the sins of God's people. And so today's psalm touches on the fact that life can feel and seem unsettled. It touches on the fact that in the midst of an unsettled life and world, one can feel insecure and alone. Am I the only one going through this? But it also boldly proclaims the reality to and the solution to our unsettled feelings and thoughts and world. And so take a gander with me at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And so the psalmist opens right up with the reality that God is. God is. Notice those are the first two words of this psalm. God is. And so this psalm isn't about you. This psalm isn't really about me. This psalm is about God. It is God-focused. And it acknowledges God and that God is, and that is a fact. It's not an idea where, you know, maybe God is. It's not agnostic, like who knows if God is. It says right at the beginning, God is, and not everyone acknowledges this fact. Some blatantly deny that God is, an atheist. But some say he is with their words, but their life, their actions, their schedules betray what they actually say. And so the psalmist wants to make clear from the beginning of his writing that God is the focus in what he is about to say. And so then he goes on to say who God is. Not only does God exist, but he is personal and powerful. Notice he says that God is our refuge and strength. He is not just a refuge. He is not just a strength. He is not a refuge and a strength for other people, other nations. He is our refuge and strength. God does not stand far off and watch as the world spins, and he doesn't watch from far off and shake his head in dismay. Note, God does not get dismayed. Okay? God does not stand off in the corner tapping his foot with his arms crossed and say, "What am I going to do with those people?" God does not get confounded. God does not get dismayed. God does not get confused, worried, anxious, all of these things that we may feel at any moment of our life. God does not get those feelings and reactions because God has not set the world turning on its axis to spin on its own. God has a plan, and he is going to see that it is accomplished both in the positive and the negatives of our decisions and lives. God is present, and he is active in the midst of his people's lives, even when there is trouble. And that's what this psalm is about. When, not if, when there is trouble in the believer's life. The presence of trouble, notice, does not mean the absence of God. You know, that's probably one of the most common refrains of people today is, well, if God is here, if God is present, then why are these bad things happening? As if bad things don't happen when God is around. That's just not true. If that were true, then Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross. That was a bad thing for a good reason. So that you and I can know that God is present with us even when things seem to go wrong. And so the presence of trouble does not mean the absence of God. God is present no matter what we may observe around us. And notice that the psalmist is using, again, nature to describe this reality when, you know, nature is something that we have no control over. We may have an effect on nature, but we don't have it under our control. And so nature may seem to be in an upheaval. Earth gives way. Mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Okay, so that doesn't necessarily mean that mountains are all of a sudden plucked up and into the ocean, but let's say sea levels rise and swallow up mountains. Is that a reason to fear? Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And so even if mountains are encased with water in violence, and it's not just all a slow creep, but at violence, there is no need to fear. And remember, this symbolism of water is of chaos. So even though chaos seems to swell up and surround even the greatest in the world, we will not fear. And so we can take confidence in this fact. Though the earth may give way, though the mountains may flood, the water may be chaotic, life may be chaotic, we have no need to fear, for God is our refuge, not the planet. There's this, are you trusting in where your feet stand to give you shelter and refuge, or the God who created it? And this does not mean we do not need to care for our earth and take our stewardship of God's creation seriously. Oh, let's just increase carbon footprints and let the polar ice caps melt. Yeah, more water to surf on. No, that's not what we're saying. But even if we don't handle things well, God is still our God. And at the end of the day, we are just stewards, not creators. And so steward well, but remember, we do it because God is our refuge and has blessed us with these things, and it is His strength that will help us to steward. It is not the natural world that gives us peace. And so be faithful in your care of creation, trust in God who sustains it, and who sustains you. He is not just in the business of making sure plants grow and there is oxygen on the earth. God is also in care of you personally and His people. There is no need to fear the earth or the nations, for God not only is, but God is with us. There is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is what? With us. So this whole psalm is all about the presence of God in the midst of chaos, in the midst of decline. The psalmist draws attention to the city of God, Jerusalem, and this is where God's presence resided in the temple in the Old Testament. And the river is a symbol of renewal and restoration. And so the temple was the center of the Israelites' worship and communing with God. With the temple, God dwelt with His people, although with a separation because of people's sin. It was there, the presence of God, that made the people of God secure and confident. You know, what happened in the Old Testament is people felt secure because of the sacrifices and the existence of a building, but not necessarily the God who dwelt in that place. And so I want us to be careful because we can get into that today, and we call this, not necessarily wrongly, but we can put the wrong emphasis, that this is the house of the Lord. Yes, true, but it is only the house of the Lord when the people of God are present. Okay? Because the God does not any longer reside in a specific location or a building. He resides in each and every believer. And so when we gather in a building, it becomes a church because the church is the people. And so we want to make sure that we do not elevate buildings above where God has placed them. It was not that the temple itself was holy, but the presence of God that made it holy. And so it was the presence of God that made the people of God secure and confident. God will help her when morning dawns. God's people can trust in God's deliverance. God has identified himself with his people by his presence. Therefore, there is no need to fear. God's people will never fall. Notice, there's no conditions here. Notice there are no, maybe this will happen. These aren't wishes. These are direct promises and confidences in God. Bernard Anderson writes, people may trust that even when they are threatened by conflict and catastrophe, divine help will come with the break of dawn. New every morning are his mercies. And so it's easy to be discouraged, distracted, or despaired, alliteration, because of what happens in other kingdoms. And I want to pause for a second. When I say other kingdoms, I'm not talking Mexico. I'm not talking England, China, Iraq, Afghanistan. I'm including every kingdom, including the kingdom of the United States. Because when I talk, I'm talking as a citizen of heaven, first and foremost. And so we have to understand that even when things go bad in the United States, even if the United States totters, even if it rages unrighteously, God is still for his people. We are citizens of heaven first and show our allegiance to Christ by being good citizens, active citizens, and citizens that want to see the ways of God prevail amongst our neighbors. But, again, the United States is a man-made civilization that has been ordained by God to exist. And so the United States seems to be tottering and raging right now. The nations make war and get angry. But notice, God just needs to speak and the earth responds by melting. Another psalm, some trust in chariots and horses, but we will trust in the Lord. The nations do not have this power. There's a lot of talk among nations and nothing happens. There's a lot of tweeting and thankfully nothing happens. The nations do not have this power and authority, so there is no need to fear them. This God who speaks and the earth melts is in the midst of God's people. That is why they can take courage. To have God's presence, for God to be in their midst, for God to be with us, is also for God to be for us. Do you hear that? That God is for you? He's not just an angry dad. He's also a friend, a confidant, a joyful, laughing father. Also, he's also stern. The same dad that can, you know, tell fart jokes also will hold you accountable. He might not tell fart joke. That's me. I was reading me into it. That was not biblical. But do you see that in God, that he is also severe, but also safe? The God who speaks and the earth melts is in the midst of her. He is our God. This is the glory of Advent. This psalm foreshadows God with us, Emmanuel. Behold, Matthew 1:23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God came to us in Christ, in Jesus, and it is through Jesus we have the presence of God and we have his identity. You cannot be identified with God the Father, the true one God, apart from Jesus. A rejection of Jesus and ignorance of Jesus is a rejection of God himself. It is an ignorance of God himself. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 46. The nations may rage, but the people of God stand secure, not because of their worldly kingdoms and their worldly kingdoms' ability, but because Jesus is with them through the Spirit and one day in physical presence in the new heavens and new earth. And we see this promise in Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. There will not be a physical separation any longer when Jesus returns. And so the big question is, so what? So what? What's the application? What is required of us? Come, behold the works of the Lord. How he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is what again? With us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And so this psalmist gives us some commands in light of the majesty and the power and the security of our God. First, he says, come and behold. And so what this has two meanings. It has meanings depending on where you stand with God. For the world, for those who do not know this God, it means he is in power. And so come and behold. He brings to nothing. This should shatter the prides of nations. It is God who has the power to make wars cease anywhere. There is none who can be victorious against this God. And for God's people, it tells us, don't put your ultimate trust in the might of worldly kingdoms. Stand in awe and security of our great God who has all majesty, all power, all authority. Matthew 28:18, all what has been given to God? Power and authority. It's here in Psalm 46. That wasn't a surprise. It was a surprise that it's now been given to Jesus because no one was expecting Jesus. But God in the flesh still has all power and authority. And he who has ultimately defeated our ultimate enemy, sin, Satan, and death. And so this Advent season is a call for us to come and behold him, born the King of angels. And it is our call to also show that to a world that may be distracted by the lights and the shopping. And then the psalmist gives us the next command. Be still and know that I am God. And oftentimes when we've heard this preached or we've heard this talked about, we kind of think of it as, oh, a nice gentle invitation. come. Sit like Mary at the feet of Jesus and just marinate in the presence of God. And there is an aspect of that here. But this phrase of be still is actually more of a forceful thing of stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop the distraction. Stop the games. Be still. Sit still. There's a force behind be still. It is stop, desist, give in to the Lord. End your fighting. Remember, the context here is nations raging and warring. And so God is saying, nations, be still and know I'm in charge. Know that I am the Lord of heaven and earth. That I am the Lord of storm and sea and sky and mountain. So come, behold, be still is a call and command to stop what we've been doing and turn our gaze and attention toward our great God. And so again, for the world, stop your striving against God. Stop your turning your heart away from Him. Stop your warring and make peace with God through His Son. God will be exalted in the earth. Church, I think we need to hear that. The church doesn't lose. It may get beat up a bit. We may have some scars. We may have some black and blue. We may have some wounds. But it does not lose. And it is through the scars of the church that we point to the scarred hands and feet and side of our Savior. It is not pristine buildings or pristine worship and nice and rockful or any type of music that springs forth just praise. It is the hearts of God's people committed through both good and bad that shows the world the refuge and strength of our God. It's not surface. It is deep and it is rich. And so there is no use in resisting the one true God. For you Trekkies, resistance is futile. So stop, be still, and know that God is God. And for God's people, stop striving for your own self-righteousness and salvation. Yes, work to please God, pursue holiness, pursue righteousness, but do that by pressing into the reality that it is God who has given Himself for you so that you would be saved. It's not behave and then get saved. Be saved and then behave. He has given you His life. So be still in that. He is God. He is God with us. He is God with us, so stop. Stop it. Exalt Him in your hearts and worship as He dwells through His Spirit. Just because Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father doesn't mean He is no longer with us. The curtain was torn. And the Spirit burst forth and resides in each and every heart. And so God is still with us. And we long for that day of His second advent. When faith becomes sight. And we dwell with Him. And as Revelation said, as I read earlier, the dwelling of God is with men. and he will be our God. And there won't be a Holy of Holies, for the whole earth is and will continue to be filled with his glory. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us. And as we gather and as we worship, may you be honored. May you be glorified. May we draw our gaze to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.